Hey, at Donovan and Mitchell, you probably only got one third of kids there because it wasn't an Ingles camp. If you want to do one together and use my name, you will get more kids. Hashtag just saying.
You are locked on Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Another day, another NBA. I guess it's the quiet period of the NBA, but we're just starting to ramp things up for fantasy basketball. Still got a few spots left in some of the Red Rock Challenger leagues. The Roto and Points leagues are still available. Some of them are still available. Not that many left. All the head-to-head ones are full and all the dynasty leagues are full. So if you want to be a part of that, hit me up on Twitter and I'll give you the links to those leagues. Some cash and some free. Actually, I think maybe all the free ones are gone. There's a few cash leagues left over there, but I will check that out. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Today, what we're going to be talking about are players who suffered wild swings in their percentages last season. Sometimes these things can be circumstantial. They can be weird anomalies. They can be injury related. But often, wild changes in players' shooting percentages can have really drastic effects on their fantasy ranks. And it's important to have a look at what these are to work out, hey, did that big increase last season, is it sustainable? Is there a particular reason why that change happened? Hey, why did they drop 10 percentage points in their free throws? Will it bounce back? We already saw it the year before. Victor Oladipo, for example, is someone who, when he went from Orlando to Oklahoma City, he saw his free throw percentage drop by about 10 percentage points. He went back to went to Indiana, and that rose back up. Obviously, that wasn't the be-all and end-all in his rise, but it is something that is worth monitoring. So players who suffer these big discrepancies, say someone like Russell Westbrook last season, who saw his free throws drop so significantly, was it a one-off blip? Well, is it something to be concerned about? And on the flip side, when someone makes a big stride forward and starts shooting at a rate that's well elevated over anything they've done at any other point in their career, what is the reason for that? Is there a reason for that? Is it a fluky statistical anomaly? And what can we make out of all of those things? That's what I'm going to try and address in today's show. So let's start talking about that now. Obviously, I'm not going to go through every single player who saw increases or decreases in their percentages, but just the major ones and the major impact that we saw. We'll start by looking at two-point percentage and which players made the biggest gains in their two-point percentage from the 16-17 season to the 17-18 season. And I'm not looking at guys who play, 5 minutes a game or anything like that, guys who had significant roles and what it actually meant for them. So you can see, if you are watching this on YouTube, I've got a list up there on the screen, but let's go through and have a look at these guys. That Mike Scott, who now plays for the Clippers, played for the Wizards, he jumped up by almost 18 percentage points in his two-point percentage. Now, he struggled in 16-17, no doubt about that, and was quite strong in his year for the Wizards last season. I'm not sure he's going to be able to maintain a 58 percentage on his two-point shot attempts, but I do think he'll be better than that 40%. Now, he's going to be a backup over there with the Clippers behind Tobias Harris and the Rooster Danilo Gallinari in that power forward position. But he is someone who can have some deep league value. A guy that I talked about in yesterday's show, which we were talking about fourth-year players where opportunities might arise for them to break out. And for everyone who was asking me, I will do a show based on third-year players. Third and fourth year is the key time for players to really start to break out. Trey Lyles was one of those guys. He jumped his two-point percentage up by 16 percentage points from 40 up to 56. His efficiency was in the tank in his second year in Utah and jumped up considerably in his first season in Denver. I feel like what he did last year for Denver is more representative of what he'll be able to do moving forward. So I think that this increased efficiency that we saw from Lyles, his ability to score in close to the basket as well, is something that might be able to stick. Jared Bayless, he jumped up from 33 to 47%. Mainly, he didn't play many games in 16-17, so that's a little bit anomalous. Not really much to view there, and he's not going to be a rotation player for the Sixers. But the next guy is really interesting. Mario Hezonja, it's a me, went from 39.8% on twos up to 52.3%. And in large part here, because in 16-17, he was playing more of the two, a little bit of point guard, some of the three, whereas last season, he was playing at the 3-4. Moving up a position in general leads to an increase in your 2-point percentage because you are playing a little bit closer to the basket, more chances for offensive rebounds, putbacks, layups, that sort of thing. So that change from Hezonja, it's big, it's 12 percentage point jump, but it coincides with a change in base position. Now he heads across to a new team, of course, this season with the Knicks, but the Knicks aren't going to be playing him at the two, I don't believe. He's going to be at the three and probably at the four. So this change in efficiency from Hezonja, especially on these 2-point shots, is something that I think that we can look to at least maintain, if not improve upon in the coming seasons. J.R. Smith jumped up quite a bit in 2-point percentage. He was 33% the year before, went for 45%. I'm not really that interested in J.R. this season. I think there's a legitimate chance that he does come off the bench for the Cavs, and he's not going to be too much of a fantasy threat. Manu Ginobili, Chandler Parsons also had pretty significant rises in their 2-point percentage, but I don't think there's really anything to really look at too much with especially Manu. But with Parsons, maybe a little bit. He did play a little bit more of the 4 last season as opposed to the 3, but he's just so unreliable at this point that I don't think there's going to be much in terms of a fantasy takeaway from what Chandler Parsons is able to do this season, which is a shame because he used to be a very, very good fantasy option. Just not quite at that level anymore, unfortunately for him, I'm sure, and for people who may have got him in dynasty formats. The next guy here on this list is Rajon Rondo, who did really improve his 2-point percentage, went from 41.8 up to 52.6. Now, of course, he does move across to the Lakers from the Pelicans this season. I'm not sure if that 52.6 is going to hold. He's in a different situation. He's not going to be starting almost definitely with the Lakers. But I do expect him to be more efficient than he was in Chicago in 16-17, but around that Pelican sort of number there. A couple of other names on this list that I think are worth mentioning is Derek Favors, who had a very disappointing 16-17. He only shot 48% from the field overall, and his 2-point percentage was 49. He jumped that by 10 percentage points last season, so a big rise, but that made more sense because he played a lot more center last season. They would start him alongside Rudy Gobert, and then Favors would come out early, and say Jay Crowder would come in, and then he'd come in and be the backup center behind Gobert. I expect more of that from Favors this season, so I expect that field goal percentage and the 2-point percentage to stay higher this year. A couple of other names on this list of guys who did take that 2-point percentage up, which are important to look at: Kyle Anderson, Fred VanVleet, Trey Burke. These are all guys who could have significant roles this season. Anderson in particular, a top 100 threat. Trey Burke, if he gets the starting job over Frankie Ntilikina, he's in line for a top 100 sort of role if that happens. And importantly, one of his big issues through his time previously was his inefficiency. Now, his time in the G League, he was quite efficient in shooting, and I went on about it a lot last year, as I didn't believe that he was going to be able to maintain the high level of usage and the high level of efficiency. So the fact that he went at 55.6 on twos, up from 45 the year before as a member of the Wizards, is something that I do hold a little bit skeptical. He's never been able to do this at any point in the NBA prior to last season, but again, with his time with the Westchester Knicks, he was able to shoot better. So perhaps, similar to someone like Marshawn Brooks, they've been able to develop that extra level of efficiency. So while I do have some level of skepticism with Trey Burke's increased efficiency, I'm not totally out on it being something that's going to be able to stick. Another name there who's pretty interesting is Jeremy Grant, a guy who's likely going to be stepping into a starting role with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He went from 51 to 61 on his 2-point shots. He played a little bit of the 3 the year before. He's going to be playing more 4-5 this season, although Nerlens Noel's presence probably pushes Grant more to the 4 rather than the 5. But I think that increased efficiency as he starts to mature and find that extra role, and he's not going to be taking 4 shots with Paul George and Russell Westbrook on the court. He's going to be getting a lot of dump-offs and putbacks and that sort of stuff. I believe that sort of level of production from Jeremy Grant can continue. Let's have a look at the guys who on the other side of the ledger saw their 2-point percentage drop considerably. The first two guys on this list, DeAndre Bembry and Wayne Selden, they had seasons that were really disrupted by injury. Selden missed nearly all the year with a quad tendon issue. Bembry had wrist problems and he's just consistently injured. I don't think there's too much to look at there. I think that that mark from Selden, 45.6 on his twos last year, is more realistic than the 60% he had the year before, and that was somewhat of a small sample size. The next three guys on this list, amazingly, are all Chicago Bulls players, or were Chicago Bulls players. Justin Holliday had a dip of 12% on his two-pointers, Zach LaVine had a drop of 11%, and David Nwaba had a drop of 11%. Let's start with Holliday. Pretty obvious why his percentage dropped, because Fred Hoiberg foolishly forced him into a primary role on offense, and he just jacked every single shot that he could take, and most of them were bad, and they didn't go in. He was taking a much higher usage and taking shots that he shouldn't be taking. That's why it dropped. Now, with LaVine, with Jabari, with Lowry, with the Block Panther there in Chicago, hopefully Holiday's not in a situation where he needs to take those piss-poor shot attempts again, and we should be able to see that number at least normalize up into mid-40s, hopefully. As for LaVine, there's a two-fold answer here. It's being the primary offensive guy and also a recovery from ACL surgery. So I expect that number to jump up pretty sharply next season for LaVine. Maybe not to the 51% that he was at in Minnesota, but at least better than what we saw last year. Well, David Nwaba went from 60 down to 49. The 60 was always going to be tough to maintain for Nwaba in his limited time with the Lakers. He had a full season with Chicago, so I think that that's a more realistic expectation to be around that 50 rather than 60. Isaiah Thomas, much like Zach LaVine, struggled on two-point percentages, mainly because of injury, so I would expect Isaiah to jump back up. But we also have to remember that Isaiah Thomas's 16-17 season was at an almost unprecedented level of efficiency. So getting back to that level where he was at 53% on twos and shot obviously a crazy level on threes as well is not something that we necessarily should be expecting him to get back to. Injury related or not, the news has come out today that he is going to be fit and healthy and ready to go for training camp, but I still don't think that we're getting back to that level that we saw there. The tackle box, John Lua, he had a big dip, but he's not very good and he missed most of the season. Nikola Jokic, interestingly, went from 63 down to 54% on his twos. I think that's an interesting number to look at. I think a part of that is due to him having an extra focus on offense on him, taking on a larger role last season, an increase in his usage rate, and his efficiency went down from overall field goal percentage from 58 down to 50%. So that is something to pay attention to. But when you look at his numbers over his three NBA seasons, 51, 58, and 50. So that 16-17 season at 58%, at the moment, that looks like the outlier season for Nikola Jokic. So it's not like that, you know, if he was to get back to those huge numbers that he had, that 63% from two, then we are talking about a top five player like I talked about on yesterday's show. I'm just not sure he's going to be able to get back to that level. Caris LeVert also had a dip of 9% there. He had a larger offensive role, running the point a little bit more. I think that is what impacted what he could do. But D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert are going to be doing nearly all of the ball handling now for Brooklyn. So I imagine LeVert's percentages should be able to at least take somewhat of a step forward. And the last two guys on this list, Andre Iguodala dropped down by 8% and Skel Labissiere by 8%. Now, Iguodala was at a crazy 65% in 16-17. He's obviously getting older. So I expect that 56 to be more realistic for him. And Labissiere just had a real struggle street of his season. I'm not really all that keen on him moving forward, just because of the way that the Kings have drafted and the fact that his game looks to have stagnated somewhat. Okay, let's move on to three-point percentage and have a look at players who took a big jump up. We saw DeAndre Bembry on the two-point percentage fallers list. Well, he actually jumped up 31 percentage points in his three-point percentage. Not hard to do considering he shot 5% in his rookie year. He went up to 37 last season. I don't think either of those numbers are realistic expectations for him moving forward, but he could be someone that goes in, stays around that 34-35 mark. Mike Scott also went from 15% in 16-17 up to 41%. That's a real off year, that 15% shooting from Mike Scott. So don't look too much at that. Obviously, his overall efficiency jumped pretty significantly last year with him already being on the two-point percentage list and the three-point percentage list. It was not a great year from Scott, but he did only play 18 games and 11 minutes in that season, and he shot 29% overall from the field. A couple of names here who are really interesting and who are going to play roles this year, TJ McConnell and Tomas Satoransky. McConnell jumped up by 23 percentage points and Satoransky leaped up by 22%. Satoransky was one of the most efficient players in the NBA last year, shot 47% from three while McConnell was at 44%. Satoransky went from 24 to 47%. That is an absolutely astronomical leap in three-point percentage, and while I don't think he will stick at 47% shooting from deep, and the fact that he was so underused by Scott Brooks remains ridiculous, he's not going back to 24, neither will McConnell. I talked about Justice Winslow yesterday. He went from 20% to 38% from deep. His three-point shooting is just all over the place. The 20% was on a smaller sample size in 16-17 as he was injured. I think he can normalize, but probably mid-30s as opposed to high 30s. Chandler Parsons, he went from 27 to 42%. So he, shocking. I don't think many people would realize that Chandler Parsons actually shot 42% last year. And I thought he played decently well. He was a disaster in 16-17, not just because he missed games, but because his on-court play was piss poor. He played fairly well last year, but it was still the injuries and the limits to his minutes, which obviously impact what he is able to do. While Wayne Selden, his Grizzlies teammate, also had a 15 percentage point jump in his three-point percentage as he did suffer from some injuries last season. He is a pretty good shooter, so I do expect that to be able to hold at that level. David Nwaba went from 60% on twos from the Lakers and 20% on threes to more normal numbers. He went to 40% on threes with the Bulls again. I don't think he's that good of a three-point shooter, and that could easily be a 32% mark, but 20% from deep is not something I expect him to go back to. Malcolm Delaney took a leap up. He's not in the NBA this season. Jeremy Lin only played the one game last season, so really not much to look at with him. While Zach Randolph got up to a respectable 35% from three last season. He was at 22 in his last year in Memphis. I really don't know what to expect from minutes from Randolph this season, but he is not going to be a standard league target. Kylo Quinn took himself to 24%, but that's from a base of 11. Not much to see there. While Brandon Ingram, this is one of the more important ones, 29 to 39% as an increase in his three-point percentage. Can he hover at that 39%? It's on really low volume, so that's going to be interesting as he has to play more of a spot-up type of role alongside LeBron James as opposed to the initiating role that he had last season. So he's going to have those spot-up opportunities. If he can get those spot-up opportunities to fall, and fall at this rate, then he becomes obviously a much more valuable player and the Lakers become a lot stronger. It's going to be interesting. Is it 29 from the rookie season? Is it 39 from his second season? I think we look more to that 35 to 37 type range rather than the 29% that he did show us in his rookie season. On the flip side of that, which players saw big drops in their three-point percentage? Pau Gasol, unsurprisingly, he shot 54% from three in 16-17, really as one of the first times he started to hit those or get out and shoot those shots with a decent frequency. He went back to a more respectable 36%. I think that's a more realistic look at what he can do. Pat Connaughton, Joe Johnson, and DeJounte Murray all dropped quite a bit. Now, DeJounte is the interesting one here, 39% as a rookie, 27% in a larger role. And I think given how much we know he does struggle as a shooter, looking at what he was able to do in an expanded role, the 27 is more realistic than 39. I don't think he'll shoot 27% from three, but I also don't think he's getting back to that 39% mark. LaMarcus Aldridge, another Spurs guy, went from 41 down to 29. I don't know if they're going to make him go and shoot more threes. It appears like the Spurs just don't give a shit about shooting threes anymore. If he can get back to 38, 37%, then it does make it more viable for him to do that. But that was a weird one from Aldridge. Perhaps that's just somewhat of the offense being tailored more to what he wants to do rather than him having to fit into something that he wasn't happy with. So that's something that I could see going back to the mid to low 30s, but not up to 41. Larry Nance dropped to 17% last season. He really needs to develop some sort of reliable jump shot. Didn't happen last season with the Lakers or with the Cavs. So can he get back up? He wasn't coming from a high spot, 28% in 16-17. Can he jump back up? I think he's got a pretty good role or good chance of being a top 100 guy this season. Jonas Valanciunas, 50% in 16-17, went down to 40%. That's still pretty respectable. The 50% is unrealistic, but he started taking the threes at a higher rate and hit them, and I feel confident that he can continue to hit threes as we move forward. And Isaiah Thomas, as I talked about on the two-point percentage, went from 38 down to 29% in his three-point percentage. That's obviously a big drop-off. Injury is a huge concern there. But, you know, I think more 34-35 is realistic as opposed to 38% from deep. And Trey Burke, we saw the big rise in his twos. His threes dropped by 8% and had 36% shooting last season. I think that's a realistic representation or expectation for what Trey Burke could potentially give us from his three-point shooting. Free throws are an interesting one because they're not play style dependent. They're not, teammate dependent necessarily on a purely on-court perspective. But they can have lots of impact based on environment or just naturally getting better. And you see many players here with some pretty sharp rises. Dragan Bender went up 40 percentage points from 36 to 76. He didn't play that much in his rookie season, played pretty much most of last season. And that 76% that he shot from the line last year ties in a lot more with what he was able to do in Europe. So I think that number from him is something that we should expect moving forward, not the 36% that he did in his rookie season. Andre Drummond, we know his story, a 22 percentage point rise last year from 38.6 to 60.5. That's a huge, huge leap. As the season went on, his free throws did start to drop off again, and he is still a punt free throw guy because he's taking such a large amount, and at 60%, we're still talking about a negative 2.7 standard score type of number for Drummond. But in the past, he was a negative 5.5. Negative 2.7 is still something that you probably should be punting that category, because in order to get yourself back to zero, obviously you need some real elite free throw shooters, and then getting to zero in that Z score column puts you in a league average. And ideally, you want to be upper echelon, the top three, top two, top four teams in free throw percentage. So it's going to take a big effort to get back to average, and then you've got to go above that again, and then you could really sacrifice some of your other categories. So I still, despite the big improvement from Drummond, and it makes him, I guess, less of a write-off in Roto, he's still a punt free throw guy, I believe. The Moose, Mike Muscala, went from 77 to 92%. He is a strong shooter. 92 is obviously really high and had some injury problems last season, but that's interesting. He should be an 80% sort of a player. Nick Vucevic, he was one of those guys in 16-17 that saw his free throw percentage drop for no reason, down to 67%. He was back up to 82%. That is the expectation for Vuc. So it is a 15% rise, but that's the number that he should be able to stick with as we move forward. And I think that 16-17 season is the one that sticks out as being anomalous. Chrissy Dunn had a 13% percentage point rise from 61 to 74%, really obviously worked on that as he continues to improve in his NBA career. And I think low 70s is something we should be looking at. I wouldn't be looking at this rise as fluky. I also wouldn't be expecting another 13 percentage point rise from Chris Dunn. But around that mid 70 mark is pretty consistent there, while Campaign also rose by almost 13 percentage points up to 75. And that's the sort of mark I think you should be expecting from Payne. Who else is interesting on this list? Tyus Jones went from 77 to 88%. He's a very, very good shooter, so I would expect low to mid 80s from Tyus. Punchbob Shiploke also had a 10 percentage point jump from 66 to 77%. I feel like that's something that can stick. It doesn't feel all that fluky to me. Well, Trevor Ariza went from 74 to 85, and I can't really think of a specific reason why Ariza may have jumped up that much to that level. Nothing looks at it and you go, well, this is a huge reason why his percentage jumped. He's been all over the place in his career. His last five seasons, 77, 85, 78, 74, and then 85. So he is just one of those guys who is all over the place in terms of consistency at shooting from the line season to season. But some interesting guys there with some rises. On the free throw percentage dip area, Chandler Parsons, despite it being more efficient from every other area, he suffered a big fall in his free throws, down 18% there. I think that's probably not something that we should be overly worried about. He's a mid-70s type of a guy, probably not the 81 that he was the year before there. Jerron Grant went from 89 to 75. That's important because he does have that chance, as I talked about on yesterday's show, to become a starting point guard in Orlando. And if you're getting an 89% free throw shooter or 75% free throw shooter, it is a very big difference. His first season in New York, he was at 78%. His next season in Chicago, 89, and then last year, 75. So it does feel like that 16-17 season where he shot 89% is the outlier. That's something to bear in mind when we look at Jaren's numbers for Orlando this season. Mason Plumlee had a 12 percentage point drop. It was really weird. He's never been a great free throw shooter, but he did make strides in Portland to improve it. But he went back to Brooklyn-type shooting numbers. If he was in a starting role, he is probably a punt free throw guy. While Andy Wiggins, 12 percentage point drop, 76 down to 64. This was one of the most inexplicable things of the season. And I have my theories as to why this happened for Wiggins. I think that when you see players have significantly large drops in free throw percentage, a lot of it is mental. A lot of it can be unhappiness with the team, unhappiness with situation. It can be stuff that's not related to basketball. And I do put this Wiggins situation very, very close to that. I think that he was put out by the presence of Jimmy Butler. The fact that he was marginalized to the third option. Honestly, he should be the fourth option, but he thinks he should be the number one option. And I think he was unhappy with that situation. That same thing happened to Oladipo the year before. And I think some of that is happening here to Wiggins. Now, do I think he will remain a 64% shooter? No. But I don't think he's becoming an 80% shooter. I think maybe a 70-71% guy might be realistic. But also, if that same sort of mental fatigue or just general anger with his situation continues, that could manifest in the free throws. And that is something to watch. I do think that's a significant reason there. Trey Burke's been all over these sheets. He dropped his free throw percentage by 11 percentage points. I expect that to go back up. The 65% he shot last season was weird, and I do expect that to rise. Much like Russell Westbrook, who went from 85% down to 74%. It was one of those things that took Westbrook out of the conversation from being a number one fantasy guy. That, along with the fact that he just couldn't hit threes anymore after that weird season where he shot 34% and hit 2.5. He went back down to 30% last season. But what he did on the free throws, he started the season under 70 for the first couple of months and did improve it as the season went on. But it wasn't like it was a continual improvement, because over the last month, he was actually down still at 74% post-All-Star at 78. Will he get back to being over 80%, which he had been pretty much every season of his career? That's the concern. Now, some of what his reasoning was as to why he couldn't hit a free throw was he didn't like the change in rules where you couldn't walk back out of the free throw circle to give high five to the guys behind you. It's a bullshit rule, but it just goes to tie in with what I say, that free throw shooting, so much of it is mental. And if you're not in the right headspace with your free throw shooting, it can have a significant effect. I think Westbrook will have adjusted to this. I imagine he goes back up to the 80% mark this season. Brook Lopez, another one. Like Andrew Wiggins, I feel like the unhappiness with his situation contributed to his drop. 11 percentage points from 81 down to 70. He wasn't hiding anything about being disappointed with the situation in Los Angeles. I'm sure he didn't want to move from Brooklyn, where he was the number one guy, 20-point-per-game scorer. He heads across to the Lakers, where not only is he not the number one option, but he's put into a much, much lower role, and he was not happy during the season. We saw that pretty much all year. He didn't get to the line that much. He couldn't hit his shots. He moves to Milwaukee now as a free agent, should be getting a much larger role there than the 23 minutes per night he saw for the Lakers last season. And even over the last 8 games of last season, he got it back to 87%. I imagine Lopez will see his free throw percentage jump back up. Andre Robertson went from 42 down to 32%. It doesn't really matter. Whichever way you slice it, they are both absolutely horrendous numbers, and he is not going to get to any level where that actually makes any difference for us. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist went from 78 down to 68. I really do worry about Kidd-Gilchrist and his performances for this upcoming season. I think 78 might be a little bit high for him. And two other guys I want to mention here. Marcus Smart went from 81 to 73%. He made significant strides in taking his free throw percentage up. It obviously fell back down last season. I do think there is hope for him to get that back up to high 70s, and I feel like that's a little bit of just a weird blip for Smart, whereas Rudy Gay went from 86 down to 77, and I put a large blame on that for Gay as the return from Achilles surgery. It might not ever recover, but I think that is part of that reason. Just a complete change in gait. Well, maybe not a complete change in gait, but just imagine you have a significant injury. Just the way that you stand can be different. There's compensation on legs that you're used to, and it might not seem something that anybody can pick up, but just that minute change, the slight weight difference in weight distribution, it can cause an impact. And I think that Gay might struggle to get back to being that 85% guy that he had been in the past. Lastly, I just want to go through some guys who overall had their true shooting rise and fall. True shootings are a combination of 2 points, 3 points, and free throws. Let's go through some of these names, some of the biggest rises there. Mike Scott, we've talked about a lot. Chandler Parsons and Tomas Satoransky. Trey Lyles, Fred VanVleet, Domantas Sabonis, Winslow, Hezonja, Jared Bayless, DJ Augustin, Cam Payne, Dragan Bender, Jeff Green, and Derek Favors. All those guys saw pretty significant changes in their true shooting percentage. I think guys like Favors, Hezonja, Sabonis, VanVleet, Lyles, Satoransky, they can all maintain the levels that they did last season. I have some other doubts about guys like Augustin, maybe even Bender and Payne, although I still think those guys can improve on their shooting for this coming season. On the flip side of that, the guys who fell in true shooting, Isaiah Thomas, obviously 2-pointers, 3-pointers, the injury, the big impact there. You can see Jay Crowder, who was just completely thrown off all season, had the passing of his mother in the offseason, the two trades, he was not himself all year. Mike Conley was injured. Obviously this takes into account when he was on the court, but he was still dealing with pain. And I think that big dip of 8 percentage points in Mike Conley's true shooting, while it may not get back to 60%, it could get back to high 50s if he is fully healthy. You've got Zach LaVine and the Rooster Danilo Gallinari, as well as Jermichael Green on this list. Three guys who battled injuries pretty much all of last season or were returning from injury in LaVine's case. So you can see how much of an impact injury does have. Thomas, Crowder, Conley, LaVine, Gallinari, Green. All of those guys battled significant injuries. The other two names on that list, Pat Connaughton and Andre Iguodala. And I think Connaughton's main reason there is because he just saw such a much increased role in the offense that did impact his overall true shooting numbers. This isn't the be-all and end-all, guys, but it's important when you're looking back and trying to formulate what you're doing in drafts, realizing, why did this bloke fall so much? Why did Andrew Wiggins' numbers drop? Why did Brook Lopez have a 10 percentage point drop in free throws? Is he likely to go back up? Is Westbrook likely to go back up? Is Wiggins likely to go back up? Will LaVine bounce back from that poor year? All these sort of things, it's important to factor in, because what happened in one season with these dramatic changes in percentages doesn't necessarily mean it carries over. And it's important to try and get an understanding of why it happened and whether it will continue. We're never going to be 100% on this, because sometimes shit just happens and it's fluky. But it is something that can have such a drastic swing in players' fantasy value. Big changes in field goal percentage, free throw percentage, it can cost you 10, 20 spots in overall rankings. And it's important to understand if there is any reasons behind these, if those things are replicable and whether they will happen again. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball and on Instagram at @LockedOnFantasyBasketball. And if you are listening to this podcast, which you are because you just heard me say it, go and leave a 5-star rating and a review, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Thumbs up, comment, subscribe, you know the drill. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Joe Ingles.